Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good evening to you, Dr. Atolabe.
Evening, dear brother.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Praise the Lord.
Lovely. Praise the Lord indeed. Well, I was saying to the listeners earlier, well, today's talk with Dr. Atolabe is especially made for me. Talk about sleep interruption, how to sleep all night. Yeah, I think it's an important one. And I do think that those who are listening as well, some of you will know, as I said earlier, that the doc here suggests that at least 7 to 8 hours if you're an adult of sleep per night, which I'm still struggling to achieve. But hey, maybe today's discussion is going to help add into my puzzle. Now, when thinking about sleep and health, it's common to focus on the issue of sleep quantity and whether we're getting the recommended number of hours of sleep. Now, while total time is undoubtedly important, sleep continuity, or the ability to avoid interrupted sleep, is also critical. So I'm going to learn this today, and I do hope that you are also joining us to learn a bit about this. Now, Doc, if I get the recommended 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, as you've always suggested, does it matter if I get up a few times in between?
Well, it's better, of course, to have it straight, 7 to 8 hours. At least six hours straight.
Mm-mm.
But as we grow older, it's almost unavoidable not to wake up at least once or twice. But once we are able to get back to sleep immediately, there won't be much problem.
Okay.
It is when we are not able to return to sleep that the issue is a big one. Yes, so it's good. Once in a while, I tell you, when you are saying this thing is for you, I say, well, maybe it's for me too. Because you see, even as I prepare for these lectures, I'm so blessed. I listen to my preparations and I obey. And it's getting better.
Ah, lovely, lovely.
So we all can be getting better.
Indeed.
And that is so wonderful. Recently, my grandson and her mom gave me a gift of a smartphone, Fitbit smartphone. So I'm able to monitor my sleep, how many hours of sleep I get at night, which is so good. I mean, it cannot be as 100% accurate. But it gives a good idea. And if it's accurate, I don't know. But I won't depend on what man made so much. I will still depend on God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are the common causes of sleep interruption?
That's what
because that's what we want to talk about now.
Yeah.
Because if we know what's causing the problem, we are halfway through.
True.
Number one, stress and anxiety. And who is not going through stress in this stressful world? So that is number one reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Why we wake so many times during the night. Not just to ease our pee, as they say, but we just wake up and then there's no sleep again. Stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, the last week we talked about some hormones, and one of them is the cortisol hormone, called stress hormone.
I remember that.
When the levels are very elevated, it is hard to stay asleep. So we have cortisol being a big problem. But the Bible tells me that. Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you, Doc. I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Hello?
Yes, Doc. We can hear you loud and clear.
What? Am I muted?
Doc, we can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear us?
Hear me loud and clear.
Good.
Good. So, the Bible tells me in Ecclesiastes 5:12, it says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So that means if we are exercising enough during the day, the probability is that we'll sleep better. But today, most of us do sit-down work. We are seated for hours. We are not moving around. So difficulty falling asleep, difficulty staying asleep, that is one reason. But there are other medical reasons which we must take note of. One is in sleep apnea.
Yeah,
sleep apnea, when you just see yourself trying to catch a breath and then you wake up. This is a medical problem. And so one must note this and take care of it medically. Then there is the restless leg syndrome. When the movement of the legs wake us up. So those are medical reasons that can cause sleep interruption. So when we see those symptoms, we need to deal with it by seeing medical experts to help us work on it. So then we have sleep environment, noise, light, uncomfortable temperature, or an old mattress. You know how your mattress just sinks in where you put your body all the time? That's a big thing that can cause sleep disruptions. So it can make us to wake up. I don't know where, how your country is like, but I live in a place where when people are ready for their party, they put on the loudspeakers and they start playing the music loud.
It happens in many
areas. And nobody can say anything to them. In the big cities, it's getting better now. You make a lot of noise, police will come and stop the actions and give you serious fines. But where I live is still back of the woods. People still do as they like. In fact, last night when that noise was going on, I said, what a coincidence. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about this and you are making so much noise. But surprisingly, I slept in the noise. I was so happy. I didn't know when they stopped. But those are things that can disturb our sleep. One time from personal experience also, I was away from the country and then I came to visit and I stayed with one of my children and I could not sleep for two straight nights. The noise from this, those who are selling music, some maybe records and so on, tapes from the mosque that wakes early in the morning to start calling for prayer, from the generators. When the electrical company decides it's time to switch off. So all of these are things that can wake us up. And many of them, sometimes we do not have control over them. We might need to move from those places. But let's talk about the things that we can control. Lifestyle factors. Caffeine or alcohol. Some people lift me up, they've got to take their caffeine in form of coffee or other caffeine beverages. We need to stop if we find out that our sleep is being interrupted. Some people think that if they take alcohol, they can relax and then they can sleep. But it makes one drowsy, but does not keep sleep on. So alcohol is not good. I would say be a teetotaler. Eating large meals before bed. We have mentioned this before in our sleep talk. 2 to 3 hours before sleep time, we should have taken the last proper meal of the day. But the last time we talked about it, we voted for two meals a day. That is still better than three. So if we can do two meals a day, a hearty breakfast, a very, very good lunch, and then we drink water the rest of the day. So that will help us if we're having sleeping interruptions. And then irregular sleep schedule. Today you go to bed at 10 p.m. The following day, not until 12 midnight. Then the night before, the sleep deprivation is already trying to kick in. Okay, 8 o'clock. Okay, oh yeah, I got enough sleep, so I'll sleep at 10. Oh, now 11 o'clock. that is not good for our circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And it will disrupt our sleep pattern. Then screen time, our TV, our laptops, our cell phones. These are screens that we look at too close to bedtime, and they will wake us up. Not only will they delay getting to sleep, but they will wake us up. Now, let me mention a few more medical problems. If we have chronic pain, and we just take something to just relax the muscles or something, yes, we may begin to sleep, but we'll still wake up. Then for women, menopause, hormonal changes, they affect sleeping patterns. I mentioned the first one, which is growing old. The more calendar years we have, the less sleep that we generally get to sleep. So with age, we begin to sleep lighter. We have more wake more often. What do we do before the time is all gone? What can we do? Sleep hygiene. The opposite of all that we have said.
Yeah.
Consistent sleep and wake time. Even weekends. Yes, I know about that one. Yeah. Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, ball game at church. Game time. We still need to sleep on time. And we need to limit screen time. Just like food time, 1 to 2 hours before bedtime, turn off all blue lights. You know, I've seen people who tell me that, well, I need to listen to 9 and 10 o'clock news. It's not a good idea. Because somebody said continuously negative news is what CNN actually stands for. So why you keep on looking at this continuously negative news? I bet you will think about it in the dream that wake you up at night. So leave that TV 1 or 2 hours before bedtime and make the bedroom cool. 60 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit is recommended. Dark and quiet. Especially as we grow older, we need more quiet rooms to be able to sleep. So I've mentioned caffeine, leave it alone. Alcohol, leave it alone. Meals 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. How do we manage stress? Because that was my number one, stress and anxiety. I read psychology up until I almost got a PhD in psychology before I changed natural healthcare. Well, I did a little bedside respiratory therapy also. But in all my medical training and in all my academic training also, especially when I did clinical psychology and internship in the hospital, working with those who have psychological problems now, serious psychological problems, psychosis, and observing, training one, observing, working with people who are really sick, preparing lectures when I became a teacher. All of these over the years, there's one thing I have learned. There are so many psychological theories, but I have never found one that actually worked compared to the Word of God. In terms of relieving stress and anxiety, I have found that the Bible has been the one that I have been able to communicate with people that have really helped them compared to all my clinical training. I mean, if I know clinical procedures, if I know theories that will help, I will use it in line with the Word of God. And that is when I will see results. So when we turn to God for help, how are we going to live in this stressful life at this time without God? I don't know how we can do it. Because in the few years I have lived, a couple of years now, I'll be 70, I have found, this is personal testimony, others may have their own experience, But the experience I have had in working with people has been that their stress level and their anxiety can be taken care of when they begin to read the Bible, when they begin to memorize Bible texts. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mother was very, very close to God, taught me to memorize Psalm 23, Psalm 121, and several portions of the Bible, like the Lord's Prayer and so forth. But as an adult, my first memorized Bible verse is Isaiah 41, verse 10. And why is that? Because despite my upbringing, the fear and anxiety of this world still was playing a significant part in my life. And I found when I was guided that begin to memorize Bible texts about fear, about anxiety, and then I saw that it was working. So I began to use it for other people also. Memorize Bible texts on that particular area where you have problems. And when that problem, like fear, wants to envelop you, the Bible verse will come to mind. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Fear thou not. I understand that there are about 300 and something Bible texts on fear not in the Bible. And I wonder, why is it so? Because God knows that there is fear in this world. And he says, fear thou not. So when we turn to the word of God, I have found that, yes, our fear can be lessened until we are no more afraid, especially unnecessary, not founded fear. You know, we learn many bad, wrong doctrines, for instance. We think that the ghosts are walking around. And so when night comes, we hear krik krik or kring kring or any sound. Oh, we think that is it. And it brings fear to our heart. So when we learn the truth will help us to know that, well, you know, the wall will vibrate from heat and move. All of these things in nature, they are not dead as such. There's life that makes them to move, to twitch, and so forth. Then you begin to know that this is life, and then you are not afraid of unnecessary things. So you know that your fear should be based on the real things, and then you work on it to take care of those things so that they don't bring fear. So that is an important point, to pray before we go to bed at night, to keep the word of God in our mind. And when we do our breathing, deep breathing, we are thinking of Bible texts. But we've got to put it in the mind if we are going to think of it during the night. So when we wake up and we cannot go back to sleep, try it. Take a deep breath in to the count of four. Hold it to the count of seven. Breathe out with a pursed lip. Open your lips a little bit and let the air out to the count of eight. And then think about a Bible verse. And see if you remember when you went back to sleep. It has worked for me. It has worked for many. And I think you should try it.
I'll try.
Deep breathing. Making sure that we keep the word of God in our heart by memorizing them, it does help a lot. It sends us back to sleep because it takes the fear away. The anxiety is taken away. Cortisol is reduced. Adrenaline stop producing all of those stress hormones. And then we start producing the happy hormones because we are happy. Of course, other things that can help us: take a warm bath at night, listen to calming music, go to bed when you feel sleepy. Don't go to bed when you are still very, very much alert. Then when we wake up during the night, don't look at the clock. Especially using your phone to look at the clock. Try. It's something that we are used to. Me in particular, but I have worked on it until I have dropped it. I will not check what time it is when I wake up. I only walk about going back to sleep. Because once I check the time, you know what will happen? I'll start planning for the next day. I'm going to start planning for the next day. Even if it is 1 a.m., I'm going to say, okay, tomorrow or in the morning when it's done, I'm going to do this. Oh, how do I get? No, I don't look at the time. I just say, go back to sleep.
Now,
so when we do that, this more often, it's a practice. The more we practice a habit, the more it becomes part of us. So avoid clock watching.
Yeah. Now,
wake at night, avoid looking at the time. It increases anxiety and it makes falling back asleep harder. Then there are some natural things that can help us. Melatonin for circadian rhythm. Magnesium. Then there are simple herbs like hops, like catnip. They are good. They calm us down. And we take them, of course, by 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. if we are going to have them work for us at night. But when we get to the point where we need to see a doctor, we need to see the doctor or a healthcare practitioner. What do we see if this is happening? We are snoring loudly or we are gasping for air, which is possible to be sleep apnea. You are so tired, even though you felt like you slept, especially when we are using sleeping pills. There are many over-the-counter sleeping pills. We should resist them as much as possible. Rather, it is better to use very simple herbs than to rely on sleeping pills. They don't give us sleep anyway. They don't make one to sleep. So I know our time is all far gone. But I believe that by the time we start practicing some of these ones that we remember, we'll start seeing good results and better sleep.
Yeah, thanks, Doc. But before I let you go, there's a question that is coming on the line. The listener is asking, let me just read it out to you. It says, a person who does physical work from early hours to late hours of the day and a person who does office work, the both groups are expected to have the same hours of sleep, which is 6 to 8 hours. In other words,
yes.
The question is based on activities one does during the day versus the hours of sleep. Now, he says, I'm also thinking about the people who work on shifts. Can they cover those 6 to 8 hours during daytime? Those
well,
are the questions.
Well, daytime sleep is not the same as night sleep. It's unfortunate that some people work night shifts. I did it one time. It is living in hell, if there is a hell on earth, which there isn't really. But it is not good for the body. Nurses who work night shifts have the highest rate of breast cancer.
Ooh.
Yep. So sleeping during the day is never, never the same as sleeping at night. We as human beings, we are made to work during the day and sleep at night. So when we shift it over, the body never accepts it. Oh, some people say, I'm used to it. I remember one day I was at work and we were talking about I'm used to it. And it was a night shift that we were having the discussion during the night shift. And people were laughing. They said, people will say they are used to it. All of us that we are sitting down here, we know the effect of working at night in our body, everybody consented. And each person were given things that were happening. One I remember very well was leaving in the morning, she was going home, and she got to her home, and she was pressing the knob to open her car garage. And it was not opening. And her dog was barking. And she was wondering, why is this dog barking? She was looking at the dog, backing in her neighbor's house in quotes. She was in the wrong house. She was pressing her home. Her dog was backing in her home, and she was in her neighbor's home trying to open the car garage, and the car garage was not opening, and she was so frustrated. She could not realize that she was in the wrong place. The effect of not sleeping at night. Many have died. But I'm not supposed to scare anyone, but work towards getting others to do it for some time and shift to day shift. So that it's not one person that is working the night shift for life. So it is necessary that at some point we let somebody else do it and we work during the day. And then not continue to work at night. I know they pay higher at night, but you see, the result of getting the money and the sickness that comes with it, because we are not made to sleep during the day. Well, they said put on black curtains, do this, do that. Many of my colleagues at that time, I was a bedside respiratory therapist. They go to bed on sleeping pills during the day. They take so many things. They take alcohol. They do many things. Well, I did it for just a short time, and I changed to day shifts because I know it was not going well with the body, and the result is devastating for the health.
And then,
so for the laboring man,
yes,
and the office man, every human being is supposed to sleep adult 6 to 8 hours. It is harder for the office person to get that hours of sleep, yes, but they are supposed to. So they need to add exercise to their office work.
I see.
So that they will be able to sleep enough. The way we have been made, research upon research has shown us very clearly. We are supposed to sleep 7 to 8 hours at night, minimum 6 hours, but work towards 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. That is when our brain is properly washed, let me use that word, of the events and the stress of the day. When we don't get that sleep, which will get us to the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep, before long, as we grow older, we start forgetting things. Alzheimer's disease, neurological problems happen. So it has been shown clearly we need to sleep, those hours of sleep.
Doc, I must thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Always a pleasure having you. I wish you a fantastic Sabbath ahead.
And I pray the same for you. God bless you, brother.
Lovely blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.